Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's all happening!
It's all happening!
It's all happening!
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
You're darn right, it's all happening. We are going to have a blast tonight. I've been looking forward to the show all day long because we are going to be several times tonight going live to Wrigley Field. Yeah, and I hope that you are well. I am Mark Grody, in for Joe Ostrowski. Ostrowski with a few days off before things start to get really serious. The Cubs are playing a simulated game tonight, one that that I know is going to be on TV on the Marquee Network, but a lot of us still do not have the Marquee Network. And I do fit in neatly with that category of people in this city that does use Xfinity by Comcast. So I do not have the Marquee Network right now. And so we'll just have to go live to Wrigley Field a bunch of times. And we will talk to the one and only Ron Coomer, who right now, I could see him across the lake right now from where I am in my Chicago place. He is planted in the Cubs' fresh radio booth right now, so he will provide us updates throughout the night of what's happening. He can set the scene. He can tell us what other broadcasters might be there, who's doing what, who is throwing, who is hitting, who might be homering off of whom. So it's going to be a fun night. And yes, we are at a 10 over a sim game. That's right. That's exactly where we are in life right now. So I hope that you enjoy. We are just going to randomly continue to check in with Coombs. As a matter of fact, not quite random. We'll have our first check-in with Coom at about 6:20, 6:25 or so to see what is going on with the Northsiders. At 7 o'clock tonight, we will gather intel on the Cleveland Indians by way of Mandy Bell of MLB.com as we continue to preview the teams in the Cubs and White Sox divisions, the central divisions, because 40 of the 60 games that teams will play will be within their own divisions. So it is proper, it is smart to really get an idea and a beat and a feel for what those teams are doing, because that's the only way you're going to be able to win this year is if you beat those teams the majority of the time, the other 20 against your sister teams in the opposing leagues, whether it's American or National. So in that vein, at 8 o'clock, we'll bring in an old friend. His name is Chris Ranji. He will be the one who will talk to us about the St. Louis Cardinals and whatever the heck else is on Ranji's mind. And at 8:40, we're keeping this charade going. So Joe O does well a regular segment every night on his show. This is his show. He does a segment, though, at 8:40 called Early Odds, because he is the master of gambling at 670 The Score. He speaks the language. I do not speak the language. However, Adam Studzinski and I, Adam, of course, the executive producer of this particular show, we will tonight, in its place, we will make our baseball picks. Now, don't expect overs and unders and minuses and pluses and numbers and favor, but we will give you our picks. Right now, as of right now, here's what I have sculpted out the time to do. At least we're going to do division winners in every single division, American and National League, and we will give you the teams that we think will end up in the wild cards, the two from each league. So we'll get on that at about 8:40. 8:40 or so. If we have time, maybe we'll play around with the divisions and place the teams 1 through 5 in each division. But for the most part, we just want to give you the headlines and the teams that we think will win divisions and make it into the tournament, as the East Coasters might say. So yeah, that's coming up at 8:40. You are always welcome to be on this show. You can call or text. It is the same number these days, 312-644-6767. If you text, I'll probably read your text on the air, so make it good. You can find me on Twitter, at Mark Grote Sports. Last name is spelled just like my Uncle Jerry, once removed, G-R-O-T-E. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. We can hang out there. As I said, Studs, Adam Studzinski, is my producer tonight. Coom in 25 minutes. Right now, I have just enough time to talk about the Bears, and I hate having to do what I'm about to do, because what I'm about to do sounds protective, provincial, maybe even non-objective sounding, because we are in the Chicago bubble. Bubble's an interesting word to use right now. But I am starting to think that nobody outside of Chicago, and that's just fine, damn it, watched Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson play this year. You watched him. If you're a Bears fan, if you are in Chicago, if you follow the Bears, even if you follow the Bears peripherally in Chicago, you know what Allen Robinson did. He passed the eye test. He passed the statistical test. He passed all tests that we fans set forth for Allen Robinson, for sure. Now, let me disclaim a couple of things. I am completely okay if Allen Robinson doesn't end up on your top 10 list of receivers in the NFL. That's okay. I'm also okay if he doesn't make the elite cut. But there have been some, more than one, odd observations on Allen Robinson that have been happening from a national perspective. I haven't necessarily, they might be local too, but I've not heard the off-putting local opinions. It has come from the outside, and the guy that we will start with happens to be a Hall of Fame running back. He is LaDainian Tomlinson, and he said the following about the Bears' top wide receiver, Allen Robinson.
For me, guys, it's the wide receiver position. And I know most people, when you think about this question, you might say the quarterback position and Mitchell Trubisky, but you know, the way I see it, in defense of Mitchell Trubisky, I don't think they did him any justice in what they put around him throughout his career. Now, Allen Robinson has had a bounce back career from last year. He had over 1,000 yards. So he needs to be a little bit more consistent. But they have to have other guys like Anthony Miller and guys like that to step up. In today's football, you should be able to take advantage of these defenses on the outside. And when I look at guys in his own quarterback class, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, you think about both of those guys. They came into situations where they had people to throw to. Patrick had a tight end, and Deshaun had a wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. So Mitchell has never had that. He has to play better, no question about it. But those wide receivers have to step up and help him.
Whoa, wait a second here. I'm sorry, I got a pen cap in my mouth because I'm writing down this stuff furiously that he's saying. You know, sometimes we use words and we don't necessarily mean to use the words that we use, but when it's on the radio or it is on the NFL Network, as it was right there with LaDainian Tomlinson, it can come back to haunt you when he says, and it sounds innocuous and it sounds like a blow-off part of the sentence, where when LaDainian Tomlinson says that he needs to be a little bit more consistent. That's exactly. Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't even know if it's boo worthy. It's just exactly wrong. Like I would play the buzzer actually if I was back there, Adam, because it is.
Wrong. Wrong.
Studs is prepared. Yeah, like you can't. Okay, again, you don't have to call him elite. He's probably not even in the top 10. Maybe he is, I don't know. But I don't care if you say he's out of it. But to say he is needs to be a little more consistent. In 16 games last year, in an offense which was ranked near or at the bottom in most significant categories, Robinson had 98 catches for 1,147 yards and 7 touchdowns to go with that. In fact, he was the only consistent part of the Bears offense last year. The rest of the Bears offense was exactly like you could have named any other player on the Bears offense last year, LaDainian Tomlinson, and I would have accepted that they were inconsistent last year, because you can go from offensive lineman, offensive to running backs, to other receivers, to tight ends, to quarterback. Everybody on that offense was inconsistent except for one guy. And that's the guy about whom LaDainian Tomlinson was discussing, and that was Allen Robinson. And then he says he didn't have a go-to guy. My God, he is the – like, Allen Robinson is the essence of a go-to guy. Because of his physical gifts, that is his height and his strength, he's not gifted with speed. He is exactly a guy who – he's the classic open when he's not even open guy. And that is – almost by definition, at least in my definition, that is a go-to guy. That you could throw the ball to Allen Robinson in most circumstances, unless he's like triple teamed and completely blanketed. There are many circumstances in which you can throw to Allen Robinson, even when he does not appear to be open. So to say that Trubisky didn't have a go-to guy, that that's crazy. To go along with the fact that Robinson, he exclaims, needs to be a little bit more consistent. Again, you could have said any other guy, but you picked the wrong guy. And I am adamant about this, because I've heard this is, he's not the only guy that I've heard this from or seen it written by in terms of Robinson needs to do more. You're just not watching. All right, so then I'm listening to the Molly and Haw show this morning, and Tom Thayer was filling in. They had Mike Florio on the Score. And they asked him a great question, and that question was, can you explain what it is about Allen Robinson that he seems to never quite get the respect he deserves nationally?
There have been plenty of guys who have played for inconsistent quarterbacks who have still had gigantic numbers. Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins come to mind. I think the worst thing that could have happened to Allen Robinson is to have had such a great start to his career. In his second season in Jacksonville, he had 1,400 receiving yards, and it created this expectation that he was going to be among the best two, three, or four receivers in all of football. And then after that, it tailed off, and I think he's been chasing that ever since. Now, he had 1,147 receiving yards last year, which is incredibly good considering the quality of the quarterback play, but I think that's what did it. The kiss of death was that great second season and then the inability to build upon it, and it caused a lot of people, you know, a lot of people who chase the statistics and get caught up in the fantasy football angle, they've kind of written him off as a high-end receiver. Once you get the quarterback situation properly stabilized, he's going to be in a position to really explode.
I love Mike Florio, but I think that to say that, in essence, what Florio is saying is that Allen Robinson, like, maxed out and he set the bar too high for himself with the 1,400 yards in Jacksonville. Again, I'll say it again. Allen Robinson had 1,147 yards receiving last year in a poorly ranked offense, one that had quarterback problems, one that had offensive line problems, one that had other receivers problems other than Allen Robinson, and he managed to have 1,147 yards, which is not that far off, actually, from 1,400 yards in general. And then if you kind of make adjustments, if you adjust it for an average offense, those numbers would have gone up. Even in 2018, Robinson's first year with the Bears, coming off a major injury, he started, 12 games in 2018. So keep that in mind. In the 12 games he started, he still had 754 yards and 4 TDs, which is proportionate, again, if you readjust it, if it had been 16 games. So if he's not elite, that's fine. If you don't think he's great, that's okay too. But calling him inconsistent and then saying that the Bears don't have a go-to guy, I had to put a stop to all this. There are many problems on the Bears, but Allen Robinson is simply not one of them. You're not watching if that is your take on what's going on with the Chicago Bears. The rest of the guys in that wide receivers room,
do have to be more consistent, do have to be better. That is absolutely correct. And I think the guy that has to make the next level this season, we've heard all sorts of names, Riley Ridley and Javon Wims, and it's Anthony Miller. It's Anthony Miller. Anthony Miller has to get to the next level. And you could tell in listening to wide receivers coach Mike Furry about this offseason that Miller best be ready. Here's Furry.
I will tell you that Anthony and I have already sat down. We've been sitting down now for 4 months on a rigorous basis, you know, throughout the week, and not just talking about X's and O's. I'm talking about his career, where it's headed, you know, what it can be like, what it won't be like. And, you know, and so he's grown up and he's matured through those conversations. And, you know, the coming out of those conversations has been a lot of dialogue and a lot of communication in regards to, okay, what's our plan as we go into the training camp? What's our plan in training camp? What's our plan in this season to make it structured? And I think he's learning the value of how to structure his schedule. We've talked a lot about him coming from Memphis, where, you know, his athletic ability has kind of been able to take over a lot of things, and it's allowed him to become successful. But now, you know, when you're in Chicago and you're in a big city, and now you have people that expect things out of you, and you have all these things now that are different than when you are in Memphis, you better structure your daily schedule. And so I will tell you, without going into deep, you know, explanation of what we're going to do, we will have a structured schedule throughout the week, and that process will help him become more successful on Sundays when we line up.
Again, that's Bears wide receivers coach Mike Furry. I mean, basically saying he needs to be more exact, that he can't get away with just being an athlete like he did at Memphis. And he hasn't been bad with the Bears. I mean, Miller ended up last year 52 catches, 656 yards, 2 touchdowns. And we did start to see some real life out of Miller towards the end of the season, like that Week 12 game at Detroit where he had 9 catches, 140 yards, at Green Bay, 9 catch, 118 yards, and a TD. It's all there. They just want him to continue to do that, like do that all the time, and he is capable of it, or else they would not have moved up in the second round to have drafted him. All right, I am being told that we need to take a break because we are getting set for our first live update from Wrigley Field with Ron Coomer. We'll do more Bears a little bit later on because there were some good comments from Hub Arcus regarding the Bears' weapons or lack thereof. We'll get to Hub a little bit later on, but Ron Coomer next, live from Wrigley Field. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Joe O on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're going to try to
go live to Wrigley Field a couple of times an hour tonight as Ron Coomer is in the Cubs radio booth as we speak. So we'll go to him momentarily and then maybe even a little bit later on in this hour and continue to do it throughout the show. I'm Mark Grody filling in for Joe Ostrowski on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score as we await the Coom Dog. We've been talking a little bit about the Bears and some of the apparent misconceptions about Allen Robinson's game, or really just clearly people not watching Allen Robinson's game if they call him inconsistent and if they say the Bears lack a true weapon. That's crazy. And then we talked about Anthony Miller and how important it is. Like, it's a must-win season for Anthony Miller. He has to be good this year. The Bears are basically telling him that. He has to be the complement. He has to be the other real weapon to keep defenses honest for the Bears. Yeah, you want David Montgomery and some of these other guys developing as far as the Bears wide receivers are concerned, but it absolutely has to be Anthony Miller. The third guy that they got to get back into the swing of the offense, and I mean that as a receiver, is Tariq Cohen. You have to have that weapon. That is, I'd say he's 1A, actually, in terms of getting your weapons back in line, helping your quarterback. It was an astounding drop-off for Cohen between 2018 and the 2019 season. Cohen, in 2018, the Bears 12-4 year, 71 catches, 725 yards, 5 touchdowns. 2019 Cohen receiving 79 catches, actually more catches, but 456 yards and 3 touchdowns. Rushing in 2018 for Tariq Cohen, 99 carries, 444 yards, and 3 TDs. So you match those two numbers together, 725 and 444 in 2018, a really good dual threat for Cohen in the Bears offense. Rushing in 2019, big drop off, 64 carries, 213 yards, and 0 TDs. So that's a jarring drop off for Tariq Cohen. And I know Cohen said some things about kind of feeling lackluster towards the end of the season and blaming himself. But this is where you have to say you have a guy like Matt Nagy, who is a progressive play caller. He looks at things differently than a lot of offensive coaches. It's on Matt Nagy to scheme him open. That they did such a good job of that in 2018. Other defenses began to adjust to Cohen and to what the Bears were doing offensively, and they were able to stop Cohen. Now it's your move, Matt Nagy, and the rest of the new Bears coaches to get him back into the flow of things, because he and Cordarrelle Patterson probably the two fastest guys, and you've got to make that speed work. And we know that it does work. You can get him open, and he can do big time damage for the Bears and throughout this season if you can get him back on the exact right track. This is another thing too that I talked about as far as the Bears receivers are concerned. Everybody wants to see Riley Ridley develop. We all want to see what Darnell Mooney can do. I want to see his 4.3 speed. I want to see Javon Wims go to the next level. But this is, again, I said it's a must-win season for Anthony Miller. It's also kind of a must-win season for the Bears. They can only afford to spend so much time developing guys this year because of the compromise offseason, just because of the nature of this season, COVID or not. Do you have time to invest in Riley Ridley and making him a big part of the offense? I'd like to see him be a bigger part of the offense, but I've lined it up as Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, and Tariq Cohen. And then you start to work in Ridley and Javon Wims and maybe Darnell Mooney, but I have my doubts. I mean, I know that the talent exists with him, that is Mooney and the speed, but especially with the Bears having signed Ted Ginn, I don't know how big of a part
he is going to be allowed to be this year because of the nature of the season, the nature of what the Bears have to get done this year. So it's going to be interesting. And yeah, same deal for Cole Kmet and learning this offense. I do believe he will be lining up as a starting wide tight end for the Bears, but how much production will he give you right away, or how much should one expect you to give? I don't know that that would be totally and completely fair to say that you just throw him in there and he's going to be great right away. There's going to be a little bit more Demetrius Harris mixed in with that as well. So 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to go to Ron Coomer here in just a little bit. Something on the White Sox that caught my eye on Twitter today. Just a kind of a peripheral thing. It's not going to make headlines, but I thought it was really interesting. White Sox third base prospect, Jake Berger. Have you given up on Jake Berger? Jake Berger is going to play in a local summer league this year. Summer league, that's right. In his hometown of St. Louis, after the White Sox approved the plan for their first-round pick in the 2017 draft. Remember, he was, Jake Berger, third baseman, 11th overall, 2017. Seemed like a guy who could hit the ball over the wall regularly. He was invited to spring training in 2018 by the Sox. And then in Feb, he suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon. His left leg done blew up. And he was ruled out for the entire 2018 season. That was on February 27th. And then in 2019, man, and there it was again. He missed time because of a bruised heel. So it's becoming something of a, I mean, certainly not cooked or anything like that, but it's starting to become a sad story. Just a guy who has been stuck in the mud in his career, and now he's, you know, not even part of the taxi squad. He is going to play in a summer league. So you still, White Sox fans, gonna have to wait a little while still on the development of one Jake Berger. So that caught my eye. The other White Sox nugget that caught my eye today was White Sox bench coach Joe McEwing. And he was talking about MLB's policy of putting a man on second base and for extra innings, as they're going to do this year. A lot of new rules this year. A lot of differences in baseball this year. And that's what they're going to do. And he said, quote, "I'm from the old school mentality of letting it play out. But if we are put in a situation, we're going to work out." I just love that something that hasn't even started yet, that wasn't in existence in 2019, is now officially old school. It's an old school. Right now, everybody has. It's okay, Joe, look at me. Look at me, Joe. What I'm trying to tell you is it's okay. Everybody, even the 22-year-olds on your team, are old school at this point because nobody knows what it looks like to have a man on second base. So Joe McEwing poo-pooing the idea of a guy on second. He's old school. He's old school. Everybody's old school at this point. I mean, that one is fun. Like, I'm all for progressive ideas in baseball and ways to make the season more urgent and more interesting because baseball needs it. But that is the one rule that makes me laugh a little bit, because it doesn't feel little league. It feels T-ball, because it feels like, okay, let's walk little Johnny out to second base here. It's going to be dark soon. Some of the moms and dads want to get home. The minivans are started, so let's come on, let's walk you right out here to second base. This is how we're going to start it. These are the rules. If somebody knocks them in, then the game is over. So while I'm interested to see how that rule plays out, it is the first time there's been a new rule in baseball where I've kind of looked at it and said, really? But, hey, you know what? We're all old school. The best new rule is the one where relievers are forced to face three batters. That is so good, because then you don't have the multiple manager march out to the mound, bring in one guy for this type of hitter, another pitcher for that type of hitter. Just leave the guy out there for the three batters and try to get him out no matter what side you are. It will force managers to be actually more crafty, because I know managers think they're smart when they go out and they pull a pitcher one batter after another, but it'll actually force the managers to be smarter in their decision making, because they'll have to say, okay, I trust this guy to get the next three batters out. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So I think that's one of the better rules. And then obviously the designated hitter. I grew up as a National League fan, so I'm like a lot of you in that I kind of, you know, I had never had a problem with there not being a DH because I didn't watch that kind of baseball growing up. But I think it's one of those things where even if you still are an ardent defender of not having a DH in the National, like my guy Grobber, who hates it, forget about it. I think that within about 10 games or so, everybody's going to be on board with there being a designated hitter. When they see when there's runners on second and third and there's one out and it's not Kyle Hendricks coming up to the plate and it's Kyle Schwarber coming up to the plate, and the manager doesn't have to waste a hitter or not knock a runner in or do a predictable bunt in that situation, I think you're going to start to like it when it goes down like that. So I think it is. I think most of the rules will be perfectly played, and I actually do, even though it feels T-ballish, I do think that you will eventually, or I will, I'll point the thumb, that I will eventually like the idea of there being a runner on second base to start those extra innings scenarios throughout the season. We're bouncing all over the place here. We're going to get Kumon soon, I do believe. I haven't heard. I thought he was jumping on with us here. So if you're waiting for Kum, I promise you he will eventually be on with us to find out what's going on in that simulated game. Right now, let's do it. Since we have time, let us hear. We're talking about the Bears and Allen Robinson and some of the Bears' weapons and the underrating of Robinson. Hub Arkish was on the afternoon show today, and he talked about what the Bears have weapons-wise and what they don't have.
A, you've got to realize that there's a lot of national guys who write and don't really necessarily study deeply or do homework. They look at some statistics and they look at names they know, and I think that's where some of the negativity might come from. But then I would just say objectively that the Bears' skill position people right now definitely rank in the bottom half of the league, with the exception of Allen Robinson, based on what they've done to date in their NFL careers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, I'd said it before, if you don't have Allen Robinson in your top 10, that is okay. If you don't have him as an elite wide receiver, that's okay too. I'm just saying, like, to call him overrated or inconsistent or not a go-to guy in any way, shape, or form, I think that's just a little bit off at this point. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Mark Grody filling in for Joe O on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Coming up top of the hour, we will speak to Mandy Bell, Cleveland Indians reporter for MLB.com, as we continue to look through our competitors in the Central Divisions, both for the White Sox sake and for the Cubs sake as well. And then Chris Raji breaking down the St. Louis Cardinals at 8 o'clock. We've got some Blackhawks stuff coming up in just a little bit as well. And you know I've always got more Bears to discuss. And as I have been saying, the Cubs are playing a sim game right now out at Wrigley Field, a simulated game. And one third of our wonderful Cubs broadcast team is out there right now. He is Ron Coomer. We bring him in right now. He is high above the field. He is hopefully healthy and doing well. Hi, Coom. How are you?
I am doing great, Mark. I am in our new booth that has been entirely redone and looks great. And looking down at Wrigley Field is a little different without fans being here, right? It's, you know, Wrigley Field couldn't look any better on a beautiful sunny night with the wind blowing out the left. But you know, the ball game is going on, and we have umpires tonight. We get umpires in masks on the field, but the game is going on, and everything is going according to plan for the Cubs tonight.
Any highlights so far that you might be able to bring to us?
There was a really good base hit the other way by Nico Horner. Actually, he got a base hit up the middle. He did a really good job of base running today on a ground ball to third, a slower hit ground ball. He went first to third on an infield out, which, you know, those little things to me mean a lot, and they're winning plays. And then, you know, the other thing too is it's Hendricks throwing for one team and Yu Darvish throwing for the other, and both guys look really good tonight. Hendricks got through the first inning and he broke two bats and got a little pop out to Javi at short. And Darvish is throwing bullets tonight too, so both guys look really strong and ready to go.
How much do you think Nico Horner is going to contribute to this year's team in this 60-game schedule?
Well, you know, that's probably the one thing that's working against him, right, is the short season. Let me get a little ground ball here off Higgins' bat, and he'll be out at first. But anyway, for Horner, his big thing is, you know, the shortened season. And if Kipnis gets off to a decent start swinging the bat, then I think that platoon situation is probably going to stay there. But, you know, to me, Horner brings so much to the table. He can dump the ball in the right field if he's, you know, seeing a really tough righty with a good slider. He's got a little pop in his bat that we saw last year. And he's a natural shortstop. So moving to second base, he's going to be able to cover ground. His arm is plenty strong enough. So he's going to be, you know, a guy that can really play second base, and he's learning the pivot. You know, I see him working on turning the pivot at second. He's going to be one heck of a player, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he seems like a grinder, baller type of guy who could play either side of the dirt for the Cubs. That is the voice of Ron Coomer. He is live at Wrigley Field right now. I'm Mark Grody in downtown Chicago. So it sounds like they've got the PA guy out there. It sounds like they got the music cooking. Is there anybody at all in the stands? Like, are there security in the stands? Are there coaches, Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer, or is it just completely blank in the stands out there?
There are some people here from the front office. Actually, Colin and Crane came by to say hi, and so they came by the booth, and we were checking out the new digs here in the ballpark, the new clubhouse. But there are a few front office people here, and other than that, Mark, and a few media, right? I think there's about 10 media guys. Bruce Levine's up there. Len and JD are in their booth, but other than that is about it. It is eerie how few people are here in Wrigley Field compared to what it would normally be like at 10 to 7 on a night game here at Wrigley Field, where the neighborhood would be exploding right about now, and, you know, everywhere you'd see people.
Oh, man, that is just amazing. It's the new normal, at least for this year. All right, so now I'm a little bit jealous that I was never part of the broadcast team when the booth was newly fitted. What is new in that Cubs radio booth that wasn't there in the years that I was there? Well, really, all the years that you were there up until this year.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's a little chopper back. Caratini's out, and that'll end this inning for Hendricks. Hendricks has been lights out. But here in the booth, so we've got new windows that fold to one side, so you don't have to take them in and out.
Oh,
so that
is
huge. A big plus.
Wow,
right, so
okay.
On these 30-degree days in the early spring, the windows can stay closed right up until game time. We can open them. We have heat and air conditioning in the booth. And in October, Crane just mentioned we want to use the heat in October. That is the goal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's we used the heat in October a few years ago. That worked out pretty well.
Yeah. We rigged the cup. Didn't Miska
make
a couple of
years? Yes, we were very happy with that. And the other thing, the other big thing that we gained was 10 feet, at least 10, maybe 12 feet behind where you used to sit, Mark. So we've got a refrigerator and closet, and so all Pat's sweaters will stay pristine and back there in the back of the booth. And still haven't been dry cleaned, but, you know, that's for another day. But we've gained 10 feet, so we've got some high top tables. We can entertain, you know, some guests back there. So they did a really nice job with the press area up here. So we're all pleasantly surprised when we came in and saw our new digs. Very nice.
That's amazing. And then I understand that just because of social distancing that you and Pat will be in the booth, but am I to understand that Zach gets his entire own booth to himself?
Well, that is to be determined. I have not seen Zach. Now, I talk to him every Sunday with Tommy Thayer. We do our show every Sunday. Yep. There will be an extra booth because, as everybody knows, the broadcast teams for every ball club, we are not going to travel. So for the away games, we are going to call the games here with monitors here from Wrigley Field. So I do believe Zach is going to take over the visiting radio booth, which would be to my left here. And he may sit in that Marty guy seat from Cincinnati, who you kind of had an infatuation with and wanting to go to their
Well, you
got to
be
dinner.
Kidding me, Coom. This is ridiculous. You know what? If this grody kid wants to come over to our house for Thanksgiving with me and Tom, that's fine with me.
No better laughs in the world than sitting in Cincinnati with Marty, right?
Oh, Marty, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
But anyway, believe Zach is going to be over there. You know, we'll do the best we can do. That's what everybody's got to do. It's a new time, right? And we will make the best of it and do our very best. And, you know, we're going to bring Major League Baseball, all our fans again, and I'm very excited about doing it.
Last thing I want to ask you in this segment, and hopefully we could check in with you a couple more times throughout the night, Coom.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, Kyle Hendricks. I feel like he and Yu Darvish, the guys that are pitching tonight, like those are the two guys who you're going to need in that rotation to be stars, because I feel like they are the two guys who you kind of know exactly what you're going to get from. What do you expect from Kyle Hendricks this year?
I expect Kyle to have a really good year. He is a guy that stayed in Arizona, continued to throw bullpens and throw to live hitters. So he is game ready. There's nothing about Kyle that you see that says, well, I might need another week or two. He's ready to start the season today. And I look at Darvish, this is the second time I've seen Darvish throw, and he's the same way. He looks, I don't know if he quite has the, he's built up the arm strength for, you know, 100 to 120 pitches, but when you watch him throw right now, he's just fine. And the other person who threw the other day was Johnny Lester. Johnny threw the heck out of the baseball the other day too. And, you know, for Johnny, he had pinpoint control of both sides of the plate, which was, you know, something that for guys that haven't thrown a lot, that's tough, right? To control both sides of the plate. And Johnny did that very well the other night.
It seems like, too, one last thing now, since you mentioned John Lester, he seems like a guy who is starting to, anyway, adjust to and accept that he's getting a little bit older and maybe being, I don't want to say a different pitcher, but adjusting to not having the exact stuff that he had or the MPH that he once had, just so he can extend his career a little bit longer. Do you think that he can and continue to be an effective pitcher in that regard if he makes those adjustments?
Yes, there's no doubt. I've watched this transformation, so to speak, from Lester through the years. And where I really noticed it, this pitch to Darvish to KB. He had a two-hopper up the middle. KB will be out, and that'll first out of this inning, whatever inning this is. I don't know. but I think it's the third, but I'm not exactly
sure.
All right,
we'll accept that. Yeah, we'll accept that.
Third inning. Crane gave me the thumbs up. I'm right. Third inning. But the thing to me in watching John, and then, you know, over the winter or over this COVID time too, is watching the World Series games again and seeing John pitch and him having that 95 mile an hour fastball along with the cutter, where now he can't reach back and grab 95 anymore, but he still can get to 91 and top out at 92, but probably pitch more at 88, 87, 88, 89, and maybe grab 91 or 92. But to me, it looks like he's got a better feel for both sides of the plate with all of his pitches. So a backdoor cutter, he can run the ball. He's he's come up with a few different, you know, little things to add to his repertoire, and I think it's really working.
Coom, thanks, man. We'll check back in with you in about 45 minutes or so, if that's cool with you, man.
Absolutely, Mark. Sounds great.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. That is Ron Coomer live at Wrigley Field for the Cubs-Sim game. It was good to get a little bit of that ballpark gnat sound, even though it's without the hum of the crowd, that omnipresent sound that all baseball fans know, especially when you're listening to the radio. But you heard some of the sounds, the bat, the crack of the bat. There was a little bit of music. You're the PA guy in the background. So got to get a little bit of a feel for baseball once again. And yes, that does make me a little bit jealous that they get a newly done booth.
Grody, I don't know why it almost just calls you Grody there. Grody.
I've been called worse.
All right.
Yeah. What's up,
I have a question, I guess, for you and our listeners.
Yeah.
Should we, for Coom's next hit and subsequent hits, should I pump in crowd noise from back here in the studio? Because I can
you know
do
what?
This.
Yeah. I'm going to say no.
Okay, executive decision, no? All right.
Yeah, I mean, like, we could invite our texters in if they'd like to have some artificial sound piped in at 312-644-6767. But this, I mean, it felt like we were at Wrigley Field. I mean, it did not feel like we were at a ballpark. I didn't think, Studs.
Yeah, I agree. Just an idea, you know, to try to...
I know.
Because
no,
I haven't heard if that's what we're doing for our broadcast or not. I'm guessing we're not.
That's an interesting question. That would be for a higher power like Mitch Rosen. Maybe we get Mitch on the line and find out what the exact logistics are.
Well, you know what? We have a meeting about our Cubs broadcast this year coming up on Thursday. So I'll ask the question then.
Okay. Hopefully we can get some clarity. And I'm going to be on every day, so I'm gonna be on you for this, Studs. I want the information, man.
We're
going to
need
an answer. What's that?
I'll report back.
Okay. That's good. Good stuff from Coom there. And like I said, we will check in with him periodically through the night. I do feel like, and maybe this puts John Lester in a good place, I do feel like John Lester has become a forgotten man because of the season that he had last year, and because he's older, and because 60-game season and all of that, that John Lester, if he does, and it seems like he's been willing to make adjustments, and he has said that he doesn't have the same, you know, miles per hour on the fastball, that he's got to do things a little bit differently. He can't just blow a guy away anymore. So, I don't know, maybe quietly expect more from John Lester than I feel like a lot of people are. And certainly you have to have high expectations for Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks. So we'll check back in with Coom probably in about 45 minutes, maybe even earlier than that. Coming up next, though, let's find out what's up with Cleveland Indians. We'll talk to Mandy Bell of MLB.com. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Joe O on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.